This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
I'm really excited this morning. I feel like God has lots to say, and I just felt through worship that he was saying that he's never finished, he's never done with us. There's so much that he can do and wants to do in us. So this morning, I'd like to look at what gets in the way of us following Jesus and what can we do to get back on track when we've kind of taken the wrong turn. So my nearly four-year-old son, Ethan, now I say nearly because Ethan loves his numbers, and if you asked him how old he was, he would say, I'm 3 and 11 months on the 22nd of June because it's my birthday on the 22nd of July and then I'll be 4. So just in case he hears this, I don't want to get in trouble. So my nearly four-year-old son, whenever we go on a journey now, he started asking us the question, are we nearly there yet? Followed by, how many more minutes is it, mummy? And he'll then repeat that same question literally a minute later. When I read the stories in Mark's Gospels, I can just imagine the disciples asking that same question, are we nearly there yet? A lot of the time, the disciples just didn't get it, and I'm sure they found this really irritating. On the other hand, some of the characters that Jesus came across instantly understood his message and accepted it. So it must have been incredibly frustrating for the disciples who struggled sometimes to understand and connect with Jesus' teaching. And an example of this is in Mark 10, 13 to 16, which I'd like to look at this morning. So if you have a Bible, please open it to Mark 10, 13 to 16. If you don't have a Bible, I'm sure there's some from the welcome team that they can come and give you one. So if you don't have one, just pop up your hand and I'm sure someone will come around and give you one. So Mark 10, 13 to 16. Let's have a look. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Now, when the little children began making their way towards Jesus, who was it that tried to keep them away? It was the disciples. And I wonder what their reason for doing this was. Now, I'm not sure we know the exact answer, but it could be a few, so let's try this. So maybe the disciples felt threatened. They didn't want their precious time with Jesus to be taken away from them, especially how sometimes children can be seen as a little bit inferior to adults. Or maybe the disciples wanted to protect Jesus. They didn't know exactly what was going on, but they knew quite clearly something bad was ahead of them, and they could see the burden that Jesus carried. They did not want Jesus to be bothered, and they could not imagine that Jesus actually wanted all these children around him at this time. But like in this passage, Jesus is always ready to welcome us into his presence, paying attention to those who want to reach him. But sometimes people or things can just get in the way. Just like in this passage, people can stop us from getting to him. We can do things that disrupt us from coming to Jesus. But regardless of these barriers getting in the way, the outcome in verse 16 is a beautiful picture of a healthy relationship. Jesus took the children in his arms. He placed his hands on them and he blessed them. They were rewarded for their courage to approach Jesus. And the physical connection of placing his hands on them symbolizes a deeper spiritual aspect, a strong connection with Jesus. I wonder how eager we are in our lives to approach Jesus. What is it in our own lives that might be getting in the way? Are there people and circumstances discouraging us from getting close to Jesus? Like that disciples' anxiousness, and they kept the children away? Or are there things in our own lives, things we have done wrong, that have created that emotional and psychological barrier that just prevents us from moving forward? Now, I'd really like to invite my good friend Alice to come up. Let's be friendly and welcome Alice up. Do you want to take that? So Alice is going to kind of share her story, a bit about how things maybe got in her way and the approaches that she took to kind of follow Jesus and what that meant for her. And the aim of this is to kind of provide an example of how someone pursues their relationship with Jesus and what that relationship looks like for them. So, this is Alice. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, what brought you to Leeds, and how you ended up here at Leeds Vineyard?
So I'm a first-year student studying at the University of Leeds. I'm studying social work, and I'm from Bristol. I've been coming to Vineyard from about September time and have just loved it. I really love the family feel. I've adopted Sarah's family as my own in Leeds and got stuck into small group and things like that.
Excellent. Now, I asked Alice a question which she really didn't like me asking, and it was describe yourself in 5 words, and she actually texted her friends to ask her friends what they would say. Now, some of these things aren't repeatable, so no, I'm joking, they are. So Alice, if you could describe yourself in 5 ways, what would they be?
Passionate, loud, caring, sociable, and opinionated.
Okay, that question's out the way. It's okay now. Okay, so looking at your kind of like your journey, your relationship with Jesus, could you like tell us like the first time where you heard about Jesus, who were you with, what was happening? Go for it.
Yeah, so my mum took me to church when I was younger. But it was only until I was quite young, because my mum passed away when I was 7. And I wasn't allowed to live with my dad because he's an alcoholic. And so I moved in with my aunt and uncle. But I used to go back and visit my dad, and I'd stay with a family from the church that my mum went to when I visited him. And so when I was about 13, they invited me to this Christian youth conference camp type thing. And I think it was the people there that first really attracted me to Jesus. I remember being stood in a worship time, and it was I was a bit freaked out. There were loads of Christians in a massive tent worshipping with their hands in the air and bursting into song, which if you're not used to, is a bit scary. But there was something about them. They were so passionate. They believed what they were singing, and they had this sense of peace. And I recognized I didn't have that in my life. And so all week I went to as many talks as possible. I heard about Jesus. I heard about his love and what he'd done for me. And historically and logically, it seemed to add up. But it didn't seem to add up with my personal circumstances. So I sat in my final meeting of the week and just said, God, if you're real, I need to know why mum died, because it doesn't seem to add up with you being loving. And I didn't get an answer I could write down. But I got such a sense of peace and joy that I just knew this was it. And so I gave my life to Jesus.
Excellent. So you gave your life to Jesus. So you chose to follow him. What was like the turning like point for you? What were the highlights, the low points, the high points? What were they for you in that kind of, I've suddenly decided to do this? What did that look like?
So I got stuck into a church when I went back to Bristol. And although I had then, like, a few years later, I'd been a Christian a while, and I knew God loved me, and I knew everything that he had for me, but I really struggled to accept it. So I remember being about 14, and I read a passage in Luke that says, "Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." And when I first read it, I didn't get it. It's very wordy. It didn't make sense to me. And so I prayed about it, and God just really spoke to me about what it meant, and it really changed how I viewed my faith. But unfortunately, we're not that quick to listen always. And so I liked having Jesus in my life. I liked praying. I liked being part of a church. But I really struggled to give him my whole life. I hadn't dealt with anything from my past, and so really struggled with a sense of belonging, both in church and my family that I lived with. I struggled with rejection and not feeling lovable. At the same time, my sister was really struggling with alcoholism, and she had a little son, and so social services were getting involved. And so at the age of about 15, I played a really key role in bringing him up. And at the same time as this was happening, my dad went into rehab again, but unfortunately relapsed. And so I think that combined just brought up a lot of painful childhood memories that I hadn't dealt with. And it was really hard seeing my sister make the same mistakes my parents had. And it kind of made it feel inevitable that I was going to do the same. So I was petrified of ending up like that.
Okay, so you chose to follow Jesus and you wanted him in your life, but all this stuff was kind of like happening. You know, what did it look like to kind of continue following Jesus in all that? And what did you do? What happened?
So while I still believed in God, I had kind of turned my back on a personal relationship with him. So I would stand in worship and I would be physically unable to sing songs about God's goodness. I'd go to church, but I was so stuck in my own pain that I became quite self-absorbed, and I just couldn't see God in my circumstances. I looked for comfort in lots of unhelpful and pretty destructive things.
Okay. So what did you do about that? What kind of happened next, and was there a turning point for you?
Yeah, So I had an incredible youth leader who had been with me through the whole, this probably went on for about 3 years, and she was incredible, showed me such love, and she had a gift of being very lovely and blunt. And so one day she just sat me down and quite literally said to me, "Alice, you follow Jesus wholeheartedly or you walk away. You can't keep doing this." And I wanted to run. I really, really wanted to run. Knowing everything that I had done and all I'd experienced and everything I would have to face by coming to Jesus, I wanted to turn the other direction. But I couldn't. There was just something about who Jesus is and what I'd seen that I couldn't turn my back on him. And so I made a choice to give everything to Jesus. And I was reminded of the passage that I was speaking about earlier. And so I realized if I was going to do this, I had to do it properly. So I committed to giving Jesus everything and laying it in front of him, even if I didn't quite know what that looked like yet.
Okay. So you've given everything to him, not knowing what that looked like. What did you do about that?
Yeah. So I wish I could say it happened overnight or in one big conference and Jesus broke in and it was all fine. But it wasn't. It was a really long process and one I'm still going through. But I chose to forgive instead of being bitter and angry. Instead of holding on to shame, I accepted God's grace. I had to ask for forgiveness and learn how to forgive myself as well. And I think the main thing was understanding what God says about me and who he says I am, not what my circumstances would say or my family would say, and learning to depend on him and accepting his help when I need it, which I'm still learning to do. I like to pretend I'm a very independent person, and so I find that quite difficult. And it wasn't something I did on my own. I've had an incredible group of people, both in Bristol and now in Leeds, have helped me do that.
Okay, so kind of like making those changes in your life and choosing to go in a certain direction, like what impact has that had on you? And how do you feel like you've changed as a result of those things?
Yeah, so I've chosen to make more positive life choices, so not going back to old patterns of behaviour, knowing that actually God has something so much better for me. I'm learning to rely on God for comfort and love and strength and things that I feel like I'm missing, and no longer letting my family circumstances define me, and that's just brought incredible freedom in my life. Like, just my whole attitude to life and people and relationship has completely been turned upside down.
So is this an easy journey?
No, okay. Not at all.
So are there things that you still find difficult, you still find hard?
Yeah. So probably my relationship with my dad is still the thing that I find most difficult, because I want a relationship with him. And I know that that's what God wants as well. But by doing that, every time I speak to him or see him, I reopen myself to that rejection and that hurt and that pain, which is really tiring. But I know that God's in that, and I know that in that I have a choice to trust that God is a better father, or let that make me be angry and bitter. So today being Father's Day, I find that really difficult. Maybe not having a God, not a God, a father that is that perfect image, or even a image that represents God as a father. But I have a choice to let that make me angry and bitter, or I have a choice to be like, you're hurt and you're upset and that's absolutely okay, but come to God and trust him as a better father.
That's brilliant. So with your like ups and your downs, your struggles and your victories, how do you manage to kind of maintain your relationship with God? What do you do to keep going and holding on to that relationship with him?
Yeah. So I knew when I came to Leeds, I needed to get stuck into a church pretty quickly, just to have other people around me to encourage me. So I got involved in Vineyard, and I got involved in small groups, and have a mentor and accountability partner, which is really helpful just to meet in smaller groups, to be able to pray and read the Bible together. I also have incredible Christian friends who I meet up with and can just share what I'm struggling with them. Personally, I think I'm a bit of a busybody, so I can get involved in lots of things at church and look like I have a really healthy relationship with God. But if I'm not doing things behind closed doors and I'm not seeking him privately, that doesn't really matter. And so I try to start each day by spending time with Jesus and reading my Bible, which I would love to say happens all the time, but it doesn't. But I love it when I'm reading the Bible and I'll just hear God be like, reread that passage, or just that verse, reread it. And I'll get something completely new out of it. He will just reveal something completely new out of it. And I find that really encouraging. And I've started a prayer journal recently, which is great because you can see how God answers prayer and is a living God and is active in our lives. Which is really encouraging.
Fab. So I mentioned a passage this morning, and I know that that kind of resonates with you. That's a significant passage for you. Do you just want to share with everyone why Mark 10, 13 to 16 is significant for you on your journey?
Yeah, so I just love the simplicity of Jesus telling us to be childlike. I think we can overcomplicate our faith so much because of life's busyness and things that happen. And I just love the simplicity of God being like, come to me, trust in me. I am completely dependable, have a childlike trust. And I just love that image of Jesus embracing little children and putting his arms around them. So if I'm in a place where I'm trying to pray, but I'm struggling, I feel like there's a barrier between me and God, either because of something I've done or because I'm hurt or upset, I'd just like to bring that image to mind, to kind of be like, no, Alice, this is Jesus. This is the person you're coming to. Run straight up like those little children.
That's excellent. Thanks so much, Alice. Should we just show our appreciation for Alice sharing these things? Thank you. It's a really brave thing to do to come and share your story. And so I know if you have any questions that you'd like to ask Alice, she would very happily speak to you afterwards. There's so much more to Alice's story than what she's just been able to share here. So please do, if you have any questions or you want to know more, Alice is really happy to talk with you afterwards. So looking back at the little children coming to Jesus, I just want us to think for a moment about the traits of children that would make Jesus lift them up as an ideal example of kingdom people. So there is a simplicity and a dependency and humility about the children, which is contrasted with the fussing complexity of the grown-up disciples in this passage. And generally, most children are very trusting. Instinctively, most children recognize their own helplessness and they trust the one who knows better than them. A child's trust is seen in their confidence in other people. And it is a unique trait of children that they do not expect people to be bad. Generally, children also have short memories. They have not yet learnt to bear grudges or nourish bitterness. And even when a child has been treated unjustly, they're able to forget. Children do relationships far better than they do rules. As adults, we can often do rules better than relationships. But for children, the relationship is key. When we find that it is difficult to journey with Jesus, it may be because we have lost some of those traits. So instead of being humble, we could be egotistical. Instead of being obedient, we can be stubborn and disobedient. Rather than having faith in God and trusting the authority of Jesus in our lives, we can lack faith. We can try to be self-sufficient. And when Jesus calls us to forgive, we can hold grudges and we can cast judgments on other people. We can begin to rely on the rules and the programs that we're in rather than relationships. Now, it can be easy to blame it on the barriers that get in the way. And there may be many aspects of our history and our present getting in the way, like Alice shared with us. Her complex relationship with her dad. And there may be bad things happening to us or guilt over what we have done and how we have responded to situations that we find ourselves in. And there will certainly be distractions, our own agendas and our attitudes and behaviours that prevent us from moving forward. But like the children in this passage, we must be less egotistical. We must be more humble. We have to recognise our need for God. And we have to put our lives in God's hand, choosing to approach him in a childlike way, trusting him to welcome us with open arms. Now, difficult as it may be, we have to become more trusting, more obedient, and more faithful. Bit by bit, piece by piece. And we can always trust that just as those little children so long ago, Jesus is waiting to welcome us into his arms. So this morning, Jesus is saying to you and to me, little children, come to me. So I wonder how we're going to respond this morning. Let me pray for us. Father God, I pray that we would recognize the need to trust you more, to put our lives in your hands and approach you with humility, knowing that your arms are open wide, ready to welcome us in. Amen. So this morning, I'd really like us to have time to respond to what we feel like Jesus is saying to us. And there's been many things that have been said this morning that I'm sure we can relate to in some way. And I would really like to give us that space to be able to say, what does this mean for me? And then we have a choice, like Alice said. Are we going to stay as we are, or are we going to allow Jesus to do something in us? Are we going to take that step forward and allow him to change us? We often say on a morning, we want you to leave a different way to the way that you came. And that's my prayer for us this morning, is that we allow Jesus to come in and change, to change us. So I'd like to invite Anne to come up, and Alice and Mike. And I just want to see if we have any words or pictures, or if we could share. And then what we're going to do is we're going to stand, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come, and we're just going to see what happens. And there'll be a time for us to pray and receive some ministry. So does anyone feel like God has something to say? Okay.
I just felt there's someone here. I sort of saw a picture of those peaks and troughs, and felt there's someone here who is sort of sick of the ups and the downs and just wants to experience a new level of stability, and that God wants to meet with you this morning.
Great. Yeah, as I was just praying about this morning throughout the week, I just had this picture of, it's a bit of a strange picture, of a massive floor of big cushions, like, and loads of cushions, and a diving board on top of it. And I feel like it's a thing about control. I feel like there's someone stood on the top of this diving board, and they know they should jump, but they're not sure if they want to. And I was like, God, why cushions and not water? It's a diving board. And I feel like God would say that's because he catches you. He comforts you. It's not you jump off and you have to keep swimming. You let go of control, and he completely surrounds you and comforts you.
Well, one of the things Alice spoke about was a time when she went to went to church, and she was physically there, but there was no sense of no relationship, and that there was a tension. And I think we can all relate to that to a greater or lesser extent, but I feel there's someone here where that really describes where you're at, and you're physically here, but you don't feel any connection with God, and you sense that internal tension. And I just feel that God wants to encourage you that by being here or listening on the podcast or whatever it is, that is itself a step towards God, and that he is here welcoming you. So,
I also just felt like the word this morning when I said that he's not finished, I just felt like maybe there's some people in here that feel like they might have come to God with the same thing over and over and again, and whether they've seen like anything happen of that, they just feel like, surely can I come to you with the same thing again and again? And he's just saying, I'm not finished with you. It's never the end, and you just come, and like those little children, he's got you in his arms, and he wants to speak to you this morning. Is there anything else? No? Okay, so shall we stand? And I'm going to pray, and I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. And if you feel like you can, I would really encourage you to place your hands out in front of you, just as a way of receiving what the Lord wants to give to you this evening. So, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence this morning. We thank you that you're here, that you are speaking to us, and that you have not finished with us. We thank you that there is so much more that you have for us. So, Father, I ask that you would just come. We ask for more of you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And just allow him, whatever is on your heart now, whatever you're going to bring to God right now, just allow him to meet you right now where you are. Not worrying about what anyone else is doing. This is between you and God. So come, Holy Spirit. So stay as you are if you're engaged with God. Just stay like this. But if you feel like some of the words that have been said this morning or something that Alice or I spoke about this morning just really resonates with you, we'd really love to pray for you. So I'd really encourage you to come forward and let us pray for you. Take that step to be prayed for. And also if something about the Father and it's a challenging day today, being Father's Day, then we'd also love to pray more for you. So stay engaged with what God is doing, if he's speaking to you. But specifically, if you've come here this morning, you'd like to receive prayer for something that's been said this morning, or if you come with something else, then please do come forward. It's time that we can pray and minister to each other. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing, Lord. We ask for more of you. Come, Lord. I feel like there's some more people that should be coming forward. I just feel like God's put that on my heart that there is maybe, I don't know, your heart might be pounding, or God is just saying, come on, take this step, that there's more of you. So if that's you, then don't be afraid. He's saying, fear not, I am with you. So if you feel like you're not necessarily engaging at the moment and you're in a small group and would love to come and help pray for people up here, then please do come forward and help praying for these guys.